And welcome to another edition of Kristen's Corner, a podcast with your state senator, Kristen Phillips Hill. And when our listeners tuned in back in April for our last podcast, it was right around the time that we had received some breaking news out of the western part of the state on a massive data breach impacting over 72,000 Pennsylvanians and a third party vendor that had been tasked with COVID-19 contact tracing. And that's why I wanted to bring onto the podcast Representative Jason Ortitai for this episode. So welcome, Representative Ortitai. Great to have you on the program.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is one of these things where you and I have been a really good tag team duo and bringing out what's really happened with this contact tracing issue from day one. So I'm appreciative of our partnership here.
Wow, Representative, it was wonderful to serve with you in the House and now continue to work with you on important issues to the entire Commonwealth. So for our listeners, could you give us a description of the district that you represent?
Sure. I represent the 46th Legislative District, which is about 20 minutes southwest of Pittsburgh. It's portions of Allegheny and Washington County. A very good mix of people from all over the demographic scale, which is really good. I've been here since 2015, and your listeners may not know that we came in the House at the same time in the same year. So that's where our connection takes place. And to be completely honest with everyone out there, I think I get along with the York delegation really well. They're one of the delegations that I probably hang out with the most when I'm in Harrisburg. I'm not quite sure why, but York County is represented by a lot of really good people.
Oh, well, couldn't agree with you more. And we started as neighbors in the Capitol. Our offices were right next door to each other, and it provided the opportunity to really get to know you and the great work that you do. So really appreciate it. Representative, we're here to talk about this massive data breach. And it seems like a lot of attention on the issue has come from the western side of the state. Can you walk us through the issue as a whole? You know, what was this data breach? What information was included? When was that first report made? And when were the victims first notified?
So this has been one of the strangest interactions I've ever had as a state representative. I got a random call from Rick Earl from WPXI, which is local news here in Pittsburgh. And he said he wanted to show me something and wanted to get my reaction. Well, okay, I'm willing to sit down and have that conversation. So a couple of days go by, we finally are able to connect in my office. And he sets up his camera, he's waiting to get my reaction. He turns on his laptop and then spins it around and says, "Here, look at this." And I said, "Rick, what am I looking at here?" "Here, it's personal confidential information from contact tracing phone calls made from Insight Global that are on a Google document, which is Google Sheets, with people's names, phone numbers, sexual preference, orientation, medical personal information, and there's just thousands upon thousands of lines on this one spreadsheet." He's like, "Listen, I have other files with even more of these names and information on there." And I'm sitting there thinking, like, how is this even possible? Why would anyone in the government be using a Google document? They should be using a proprietary secure software to house this very confidential information. So we go out, and I'm just flabbergasted sitting in my office. You know, what's my next step here? Because I don't want this information out there. And then it goes through the back of my mind, like, all right, I need to verify this is true. Like, is this information really out there? Or did someone just email him? Is an angry employee, former employee of Insight Global, just handing information out? So I met with our chief legal counsel. I met with our majority leader, chief of staff, and I explained the situation to them. I had reached out to the Department of Health to get some preliminary information. I did not send them the full information of what I had seen. I just wanted to know what was kind of going on. And I think I did that around April, or the beginning of April. So once I did that, we were getting more information from the reporter, and we were also getting information from a couple whistleblowers, which I know a couple had reached out to you as well about information. And I said, "Listen, all right, guys, we've got to figure this out. This is about making sure that our constituents' data is safe and secure. I said, we have to go to the governor's office. We have to figure out if this is true, because if anyone can figure it out, it's the administration. So I got on a phone call with our chief counsel and our majority leader chief of staff, and we called the governor's chief of staff to have a conversation. And he had repeatedly said throughout that call that if this is true, they're fired, they're fired. He said it like 3 or 4 times. This phone call lasted about 4 or 5 minutes. It wasn't a long phone call, and he said he would look into it and get back to us. Well, a few days go by, and then he finally gets back to us and says that we looked into this a few months ago, and it's not true. I'm like, oh, that's great. That's great. So what I saw, you know, not true. And then the evidence and all this information starts to pour in. And Rick Earl is pushing it and pushing it. And then his story finally drops. And they finally admit that it's true after about 2 or 3 weeks of going through this process. So once we have all this information, it's out there, the story breaks. I'm really upset. And I think you and I had a conversation somewhere in between there. And I said, you know, Senator, I'm going to have a press conference. We're going to call this out because this is BS. This should have not happened. And the fact that we were told that it didn't happen and that it was not true makes me even more infuriated. So I called the press conference. I have the majority leader there. We have our whip. We didn't get a lot of coverage out there, but we called out the governor's administration and the department for not handling this appropriately. And instead of handling it appropriately, what they did was, is the Insight Global comes out and says, well, everybody gets free credit monitoring for a year. They just have to call and sign up. And I had constituents reaching out to me saying, hey, you know, we don't want to talk to these people. They already basically gave our information away. Why would I want to talk to someone who just basically violated me? So I heard many, many of those complaints. And the fact that what happens to the minors, because there were kids that were underage that are on that list. What good is credit monitoring going to do for them for a year? These people are going to be plagued with this problem for the rest of their life. It's completely unacceptable. So at that point, I had a call with the Attorney General's office, and I said, you guys have to look at this. At that point, someone had given me a thumb drive of all this information, which I did not want to have at all. I didn't ask for it. I didn't want it. So I said, listen, I have to give you this because I don't want it. It's personal information that should not be in the hands of anybody else right now. So we set up a meeting. I was able to get the information over to the AG's office. They had told me they were looking at opening 2 different investigations, a criminal investigation. And then there was a civil investigation. During this time as well, there was also a lawsuit filed in federal court against Insight Global and the Department of Health. So since that lawsuit was filed, Department of Health and the administration basically refused to discuss any aspect of it whatsoever, which I get, lawyers get involved, and that's kind of how it happens. But so we go through this process, and then I think we get into the end of May and people still had not been notified. So how this can continue for another month after it breaks without notification is beyond me. And then they still tell people they have to call Insight Global. Insight Global is not going to call them. So to your point earlier, you had said, look, a lot of people in the West might know about this, but people in the East might not know. So how many people are completely unaware that their information's out there?
And I can tell you that I went on talk radio in Philadelphia, and the host, who's pretty well-informed individual, Dom Giordano, monitors everything that's going on, said, haven't heard anything about this. And it was a shock to me because 72,000 Pennsylvanians, a significant number of people. And my sense was that these folks were from all over the Commonwealth. And you know, after all this transpires, right, you do your due diligence, you do the right thing. You reached out to the administration who awarded the contract, executed the contract, had oversight through their department on this contract. You hold the press conference. You call into question the extent of this data breach. You turn all the important information for an investigation to law enforcement, the Attorney General's office. The committee I chair, the Senate Communications and Technology Committee, we had scheduled a public hearing and, you know, was grateful that you held the press conference, that you brought light to this issue. And we were actually set to hear from the acting secretary of Health, Allison Beam, and the Department of Health on this data breach to know, you know, when did they find out, who was all impacted, what is happening with this data after the pandemic is over, and so many questions that, you know, constituents have. I talked to some of these whistleblowers. I actually talked to some individuals who were victims or whose children were victims. How, you know, let's get answers for folks. And we had that hearing scheduled for Tuesday. The Friday prior to the hearing, at just after 6 p.m., the department backs out. They back out. And, you know, it was so what do we do now? And I just said, we still have to hold this hearing. We have to read these questions into the record. We have to bring more awareness to this issue. And, you know, prior to the awarding of this contract, we were all told that there was going to be a contact tracing app and everybody needed to download it onto their telephone or to their cell phones. And it's safe. Don't worry, it's safe. Well, you know, before people consented to downloading an app to provide their personal information, I worked with Senator Michelle Brooks, who chairs the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, and said, you know, at bare minimum, we need to be able to provide information to people so that they can make an informed decision as to what they are consenting to. Will their data be safe? We were given every possible assurance that if you downloaded this contact tracing app, it is going to be safe. And they walked through all these great technology features that were going to assure the safety of people's personal information. And it was safe. That was until the department downloaded the information off of the contact tracing app, put it into a Google spreadsheet, and sent it over to Insight Global. And at that point, those people who had used the safe app were no longer safe. So, you know, there are still so many questions that the department has not answered with regard to this data breach. Concerns on behalf of, at this point, over 72,000 Pennsylvanians. And, you know, until you held your press conference, I hold this hearing, they were not going to end the contract early. Governor's chief of staff said very clearly to you, and I remember you sharing this with me initially, that if this is in fact true, they are fired, right? And we're not going to terminate the contract. You violate the privacy. You reveal the personal data of over 72,000 Pennsylvanians, and we're just not going to renew your contract.
Yeah, so at my press conference, I demanded that this contract be terminated immediately. And I even put out a press release saying as much. And basically, I was told that they needed transition time to get a new contact tracing company in there. And that it would be terminated in June, which is about a month before the contract would have ended. And I'm like, this is unacceptable. So I'm watching your hearing, and I did watch it. I know they didn't show up, and I'm glad you had your hearing. But them not showing up and ghosting the state Senate on a hearing is completely unacceptable. Here's the problem with this administration. They talk a big game about transparency and being open and honest with the public. It's nonsense. It's nothing but platitudes. And they sit there and they say, we're going to be open about every single thing we can. And then any little thing they hide behind. Like, this is a problem. It's publicly known it's a problem. They should have owned it and said, listen, we're sorry this happened. We're trying to do everything we possibly can to make this right. And we're going to get rid of this company immediately. They didn't do any of that. And they hid behind basically a lawsuit when they should have been at your committee. They should have been answering your questions, and they should have been open with the public, and they refused to do that. And it's not the only thing they've refused to do since this governor's been in office.
Well, and I just go back to right to know requests during the COVID-19 pandemic. And, you know, I know you well enough to know your office was open just like my office was open, and we were taking care of people and we were putting information out there. And so to not share information, there was just no excuse for it. So one of the things that struck me was that after the data breach, the Department of Health then said that the National Guard was going to take over contact tracing duties. And look, we know this is not the first time that we've called in the National Guard to help with the pandemic. In fact, and correct me if I'm wrong, make sure I remember this correctly, the House and Senate Republicans, I believe, worked together to use the National Guard to help with the horribly mismanaged COVID-19 vaccine rollout. When we were 49th in the nation for getting the vaccine that, you know, Operation Warp Speed, we knew it was coming. We had no plan. And when we were at the bottom of the barrel, that's when we said, hey, I think it was Representative O'Neill, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And you're right. We were doing terrible. And you know, the state did have a plan, but they had like five or six different iterations of a plan and nobody knew what was going on, which caused huge amounts of confusion to everybody. And I know you probably got the complaints as well. Everyone wanting to know, you know, when is their turn to get the vaccine? And you're sitting there like, oh, well, it's 1A, 1B, 1C, 1D. And I'm like, why couldn't we number this like a reasonable person, like number one, this would be group two, group three, group four. But everyone's like, well, I'm in group one. Well, everybody's in group one because the governor decided in his administration that everybody was number one. And that's great, but it makes it so much more confusing for everybody. But Tim O'Neill came up with this great idea. Let's call in the National Guard. They have expertise in rolling out things like this. And when we put together the task force on how to do this, working with the National Guard, we went from almost dead last to top 10 in a couple of weeks. And this is what happens when you collaborate with the General Assembly. And I think that's the main sticking point here is you had a governor who wanted to do everything but didn't know how to do anything. So having this piece of legislation in law with him agreeing to it really helped Pennsylvanians. And if it wasn't for Tim O'Neill and House and Senate Republicans really pushing this and making an issue of it, I still think here we are in July, we'd still be having issues rolling out the vaccine.
So any word, any follow-up? Have you heard anything? Because I haven't heard anything with this promise that they were going to pull in the National Guard.
All I've heard is they've been using Department of Health employees to take over contact tracing in the interim. I know that they had said they were going to use National Guard, but I haven't seen any evidence or any proof to say that they actually had brought them in. And I think that's why they're working towards getting this other company in with another multi-million dollar contract, because I guess the first one wasn't enough. I get it. If the state wants to do contact tracing, that's fine. I don't know why we can't do it in-house. And I don't know why we're looking outside of the state for another vendor when we just got burned by someone else.
And I can tell you, I was surprised, right? And you can imagine you probably felt the same way. We see another emergency procurement for the department. And this time to the tune of over $34 million. The first contract was just shy of $23 million. This one is now for $34 million with yet another third-party entity, right? So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the group that the department is planning to use, to get the details about how exactly they're going to do this and what their experience is. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, at the end of the day, anytime you engage with a third-party vendor and state government deals with them on a daily basis, you want to make sure that you have a really good contract and you have accountability measures in place. And I don't think that happened with the last contact tracing. I will be looking very specifically at this one to make sure that there's oversight. Just because you award someone a contract and you have an agreement in place that they're going to do something doesn't mean that you shouldn't check in from time to time to make sure that they're actually doing it. And I think that's where the Department of Health really screwed up with the last one, is that they weren't doing anything. It was just, hey, go do your thing. We're busy doing other stuff. We just trust that you can do it. And blind trust doesn't work. So my hope is, I am adamantly opposed to them bringing in another contact tracer. I think it's a waste of money and a waste of time. I think we can do it in-house with department employees or temporary staff, whatever the case may be. But to spend another $34 million, I don't remember ever voting on that as part of the budget this year or last year. So I don't want to be stuck with a bill at the end of the year for something that a lot of people aren't even going to participate in moving forward. And let's hope that we're at the end of the pandemic here. We're seeing record lows of positive cases. And thankfully, we're seeing very little deaths. I mean, I would love to see zero, as I'm sure everyone else out there would. But we're getting to the point now where I don't know that this is really even necessary. To spend $34 million again just seems excessive.
Well, I'm anxious to learn more about the procurement process. I know that you're going to be holding a hearing next week on that, because I'm looking at this going, isn't it fascinating that the company, this third party vendor, is also the same group that's being used in New York State. And so often, and I've noted this on numerous occasions, we see a lot of policies from New York make their way here into Pennsylvania. And again, you know, first contract was $23 million. This one's $34 million. So it's nearly $12 million more, yet our case counts are less than half of what they were last year. And furthermore, again, the National Guard was doing a great job assisting throughout this pandemic. And they have a lot of knowledge and expertise in logistics and in security and cybersecurity. So again, next week, you and I are, we've got a couple of hearings scheduled. The House State Government Subcommittee that you are chairing has one. Tell our listeners about the hearing that you have scheduled through the House State Government Committee.
Yeah, absolutely. So Chairman Grove, who is chair of the State Government Committee in the House, has tasked my subcommittee on government operations to review the Emergency Procurement Code, which is the procurement code that's being used to bring these contact tracing vendors in. It was used originally last year, and I believe it's being used this time. So next Tuesday at 1 o'clock in G50 in the Irvis office building in the Capitol, we'll be holding a hearing. We have five panels coming in to SOC. We have DGS, they'll be first, health will be second. And then we're going to have a legislator from Maryland who did a procurement bill there. And then we're going to bring in someone from the Auditor General's office in the state of Utah, because we want a wide array of information. Like, does Pennsylvania do emergency procurement the best? Do we do it the worst? We want to see what other states are doing so we can improve it, add additional oversight, more accountability. And then our fifth panel will be a couple of people from the Levin Center who have vast knowledge of procurement throughout the entire country. They have experience working with the Senate at the federal level, various state legislatures across the country. So we're looking to learn about how the emergency procurement process works, how it's actually implemented, and getting a few real world examples and then comparing it with how other states do it. So that's going to be basically the genesis of the meeting. And then hopefully that'll be a nice little build up to your meeting the very next day, which I think will be maybe I'm a little unbiased here, but yours might be a little bit more exciting than mine, but we'll do our best to try to hold court there. But I think it's important because it's probably been 50 years since we looked at the Emergency Procurement Code, and this is the year 2021, not 1950. Things have changed, technology's changed. It's time that Pennsylvania, you know, really gets with the times these days. So that'll be my hearing on Tuesday, and I'm looking forward to that.
Well, and I can tell you, I will certainly be tuning in and watching. And then, this, as you said, the Senate Communications and Technology Committee is going to hold a joint public hearing on Wednesday, July 21st, 10:30 a.m. in Hearing Room 1 of the North Office Building in the state capitol. And we're going to hear from Acting Secretary Allison Beam from the Department of Health, as well as Executive Deputy Secretary Kira Kleinpeter. And we're going to hold those hearings in conjunction with the Senate Health and Human Services Committee, chaired by Senator Michelle Brooks from up in Mercer County. And look, we want to know the latest on this vendor, this public consulting group out of Boston, to know how they safeguard their data. I think, you know, I'm a data geek, and I know that this information is not just going to magically disappear. So what are these third-party vendors doing with this very sensitive data that they collect on everyday Pennsylvanians? Why are we doing this contract in the first place? Why are we doing it in the manner that we're doing it? And so many more questions. And we need to have answers on behalf of the people that we represent, and every person who is a citizen of this Commonwealth. So we have confirmed that the Department of Health's top officials to testify on this $34 million contract will be there. So I think that these hearings may have some overlap, but I also think we're looking at various aspects of the issue from a data privacy standpoint and also from the procurement standpoint. And there's really a lot to unpack. But I think it's all because, you know, hard-earned taxpayer dollars are being spent here. So I certainly hope that everyone that's listening can tune in to our hearings. And Representative, it has been a pleasure to have you on the program today. Where can our listeners go to find out more about you and about your work in the House of Representatives?
Sure, absolutely. I appreciate you having me. If people are interested, you can go to reportitay.com. I know it's a tough one, so it's reportitay.com. That's my state legislative website. You could also find me on Facebook at basically facebook.com/reportitay. I post a lot of information on there. There's a lot of just basic updates and positions if anyone's interested. And if you want to view the hearing live, you can go to pahousegop.com on Monday or Tuesday at 1 o'clock. And I'm sure it'll be recorded, and I'll make sure I post it on my website and on the Facebook page as well.
That is fantastic. Thank you again, Representative Ortitay. And again, you can watch the Senate Communications and Technology joint public hearing with the Senate Health and Human Services Committee on Wednesday, July 21st at 10:30 a.m. live on my Facebook page at facebook.com/SenatorKristen. as well as at senatorkristen.com. And this is your state Senator Kristen Phillips-Hill. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll talk to you again soon.